Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Sylvia Nichols with Phenomenal Black, well, not just Black, Phenomenal Woman. And I'm talking today about hair and experiences with our first beauticians and what it means, our hair. So I ask you now to hear me open up with prayer for our adventure with hair and to remind you that I will highlight interactions between and among individuals and to the characteristic structures and functions of social groups and institutions such as families, community schools, workplaces, as well as fiscal, economic, and cultural and policy environments. Is a woman? What makes a woman? What makes her unique to all creation, creature creation? Why does a woman exist where those questions come from? In the sight of the Creator, or she is the ultimate source of life, the life giver. She is the one that Elohim chose to bring human life into existence on the earth. A woman is chosen to be the vessel that brings life. By the Creator knitting life into her womb, carries it for 9 months. That is one way that makes her the unique phenomenal woman. Dear God Almighty, Creator of all, and to you I give praise. As I share with about phenomenal women today, may I have strength and get direction from you to share in such a way that it might make a difference, or it will make a difference in someone's life. Because these people that I'm going to share today has made women feel beauty when they work with their hair. Guide me, dear Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share about beauticians and hair. My first beautician was my mother. She sat me in a little chair between her big chair and put my head so that she could reach it with her hand and would comb my hair and put it into plaits. And I would look in the mirror after she finished to see did I look better than I looked before I sat in that chair. But that experience with me sitting there in a chair while my mother combed my hair brought a relationship that I will never forget. It made me feel good that I was spending that time with my mother. It was the sort of a procedure that made me feel really good. And each time that she sat me there in the chair, I knew it was special because it was just she and I coming together. Many of you had similar experiences in growing up. You probably had an aunt sometimes who would comb the hair, or sometimes a grandparent who would comb the hair. But they would sit you down, sometimes on the floor even, and you lay back on their knees, and then they would comb your hair and style it. And what special times we had when we were on a program, like the Easter program, which we're about to go into the Easter, the resurrection season. And there were specialness in this because you knew that you might get a bang, some bangs, or you might get some Shirley Temple curls if your mama could make those real good. Or you might, later on as you grew up, you might would go to the beauty shop and get that done. But that was an experience, and I don't care where you lived or who your parents were. I'm sure all of you, when you were younger, experienced your parents, your mother, or you, like I said, aunt, grandmother, cousin, sometimes sister, combing your hair to get it in a, to look nice for wherever you might be going. I have read about who was known for what she did with black hair very early, but probably before many of us were born. She created different creams and tools to fix black hair because black hair always easy to fix. We have different grades of hair, and we had worn it different ways during life. But she was able to bring attention to black hair, and she created a business, a successful business of doing hair and creating products to help black women be able to manage their hair and to make it be healthy so that we would not feel the shame that some people wanted to put on us for our hair. But we do know that nowadays some people are trying to look more, have their hair look more like black hair. But anyway, going back to her, she was a phenomenal black woman. She was a phenomenal woman because she was able to gain wealth and support various causes, including education, civil rights, and women's empowerment. She donated to schools, colleges, and organizations that uplifted African-American communities. She was also an advocate for racial equality and women's economic independence. Many times she had to exercise her right to be in the business that she was in. She was ended up being one of the richest black women in during her time. I'll speak maybe a little bit more on her, but I want to move on to the next group of beauticians that came into my life, and that was the beautician who fixed my mother's hair. When my mother went to the beauty shop, her beautician was named Miss Dillard. And Miss Dillard did a beautiful job with my mother's hair because my mother had sort of good hair, but it wasn't straight or anything, but it was just nice and thick. And she would put waves in my mother's hair. And, I thought that was something when she would come home from the beauty shop with those waves in her hair, up, and it sort of reached up, going up, and on the back coming down. So, and then my auntie would go to the beauty shop as well, and she would have a different style. But the beautician, Miss Dillard, was so creative, and it made her hairdo stand out. So many women wanted to go to her to get their hair fixed because she made it so many different ways. If you didn't come out looking just like everybody else. Then there were other beauticians that I praise today for their work with our hair. On the street where there were two beauticians. One was Miss Gaffney, and one was Miss, it left me that quick. Anyway, they too both had different ways. And by the way, they had to use the straightening comb and the curlers, hot curlers. They usually had something like a hot plate. Many of you younger than I am don't even know about hot plates. But you had the hot plate, which was not different from sitting it on the stove. You would have it sitting so that you could just do hair with it at that time. And you would heat up the straightening comb after you had washed the hair and made sure it was clean and all the oils out of it. And then you use some Royal Crown and sometimes Dixie Peach. I remember those kind of oils that they used back then on the hair to help it straighten out. When they used the hot comb and the curlers. And when they would do your hair, you sometimes feel a little heat, but they tried to let blow your hair while they were combing it out with the straightening comb, and that would make it not be so for you to bear, because sometimes that steam would get to you a little bit. Now, I know there were some other racial beauty shops in town, and I would notice what they would do to hair. They would be just as creative. They sometimes did what they called a perm. Back in the day, I would hear them talking about getting a perm for their hair, different from the perms we got started getting years ago. But their perm was to add curls, and our perm was to take straighten out curls. But anyway, going back to using the straightening comb and curlers, one thing that curlers, if you didn't put that hair on that curler right, your curl wouldn't be even. And so if they were a certified beautician, they knew how to make those curls, that hair fit into the curlers so that it would come out an even curl. Not a crooked curl, not part curl, but an even curl. And if you had short hair, they would put it in a style with curls that you would not see it as being short hair. They could on your hair. Whether it was long, short, different, cakey, curly, or halfway there. And in many cases, they would add a little hair to it if needed. You think that wigs and things like that came out in these recent years the way these young people think, oh, they had them back in the day, too. They just had to do different things with them to make them look like they were not a wig. Because I know some of my teachers had pieces put in their hair to make it look out in the community. beauticians, and they had their little conventions and their meetings, and they were outstanding in the community. They added so much to our communities. Now, going back, many beauticians became out of Madam C.J. Walker's, came out of her education, and they learned to do different things with the tools that she made. And eventually in schools, at least in my hometown, they had in our high school a cosmetology department where they taught, it was a trade that the young girls who wanted to do hair learned while they were in high school. And by the time they finished high school, they were able to go on and get certified as a beautician. I had another neighbor who ended up going to school to be a beautician after finishing at high school. And Barbara Ann Beatty, she used to do our hair on our street because we lived on the same street. So I guess you say there were a lot of beauticians around on my street. Yes, there were. That made the third one when she started doing hair. And they were able to make a good living. And they were respected because people knew that they would help their hair to grow and to become more beautiful, and they would look more attractive as a result of getting their hair done. Now, how does that fit in with a phenomenal woman? The fact that they could do what they did to our hair and others' hair and make people look good, that made them very much phenomenal in that they were capable of meeting the needs of the women in the community. Also, you had the beauticians who didn't have the certificate of being a beautician, of the license, and they would go from house to house, or people would come to their house and get their hair fixed. Well, I have to say, I knew about that because I eventually did that. I would fix my grandparents' hair, my aunt's hair, and my sister's hair. Sometimes she didn't too much like me to do her hair because I think she thought I was going to burn her, but I wouldn't do that. But anyway, how much money that I would make going from house to house, not just house to house, I would go to certain homes where people had asked me to do their hair. And I would make $1 a hair. Now, they would wash their own hair, and I would just have to straighten it and curl it. But it was $1. And when I went to college, I was known as the beautician for the girls, the women on the campus. I kept their hair looking nice. My girlfriend, Trutella, who took up the cosmetology class, helped me to learn how to do hair better. So she would teach me her little tricks that she learned, too, would do hair in the community. She lived in the project, so she would go to different homes or they would come to her house and get their hair fixed. And her mama and two sisters would get their hair fixed. Fixing hair then, a beautician was considered a very decent job, and it made for strong leadership because when you went into someone's shop, you couldn't go in there making noise because it might disturb the beautician, and she messed up somebody's hair. And we didn't want that to happen, but it did happen sometimes that people would come in and be loud, and the beautician would have to stand up as the leader and say, in my shop, you cannot do all that hollering and talking. And if you want to fuss, you should leave that outside the door. It taught us respect for each other. To show respect when you went into the beauty shop, you didn't just go in thinking that it was okay to do whatever you had done out in the street. And the beautician would make sure everybody kept on one accord. And as far as I knew, there was no gossiping going on when I was there. Now, maybe after I left or when I got grown up and saw more of that, it didn't happen when I was a child growing up. Often I was a teenager going to different homes doing hair, or when I was in college doing hair. It was respect shown, no disrespect. And one other thing that the beautician did, she kept you private. She didn't want everybody seeing what you were getting done to your hair. It was sort of like she wanted to make it so that you were the only one who would have whatever she had done to your hair. So that, again, made them very much a leader in determining how they would set up their shop. Many of the shops were in addition to the homes. That's where they were on my street. They had an addition, either the basement or back on the other side of the kitchen. When I would go to different homes, it was usually in the kitchen because they didn't have hot plates. I didn't go around taking the hot plate. I just took the tools, the curlers and the straightener combs. Now, as time went on, the perm, the beauticians went to and learned how to do the perm. Body was trying to get a perm. I know I might have been, in the 20s when I started getting perms, I think. But they learned the procedure, and they would do it. And everybody would try to figure out who was the best at doing that. Liz was one famous beautician in Spartanburg. She would do your hair. She would have people line up, especially she would work all day and all half the night, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I'm sure she would be pooped by Sunday morning when Easter came along. Yes, people would get the perm. The only thing I know when they first started, it would tingle my scalp. And so they would put some kind of grease or something on your scalp so you wouldn't feel tingling when a burning, I would call it, when they put the perm on you. Then you would get your hair washed and it would come out straight. And they would roll it up on rollers and put you under the dryer. And that's the way the perm would go. And everybody wanted a perm. Perm, as we look on it now in these times, it did a lot of damage to our scalps. Some beauticians didn't learn the proper way to do perm, or they wanted to do a shortcut to it, and it messed up people's head. And we chose to go to those beauticians who had taken the training, and you didn't hear of anybody being messed up so much because of the perm. beauticians who knew how to do the perm, they were known for being good at doing those perms. And they took pride in that. And like I said, the beauticians, even though when my mother was, I was young, my mother went to the beautician, the next level of beautician, they were just as proud and just as good in doing your hair as the older ones who had come before them. But when that perm came along, you had to choose which beauty shop you were going to go to, because you had to make sure that that person was trained properly in doing those perms. I give thanks to God for the different beauticians I had in my life. Our young people, I've noticed that they don't sit those young children down and comb their hair like we were done. They end up wanting their mothers or their grandmothers to do their children's hair. But I was guilty too, because one of my children, I could not comb her hair and plait it tight enough for it to stay. It would come loose, and short hair, and family had short hair. And she said, "Let me see that baby. I'll get her hair straight." And she did. She plaited that hair down real good, and she continued each time that she was in town. And before long, my child's hair was growing. So you see how these women, whoever your beautician was phenomenal. And they showed you in different ways how phenomenal they were. And we would go to different later to get our bushes shaped up right. There was a time when we wanted our hair in an afro as such. And we still had to get it seen about by some beauticians, because we wanted to make sure that it was cut properly and it was even. It couldn't be just shaggy, as some of them were these days, but ours was brown, and you had to have it perfected by the beautician. And some women would barbershop and get theirs shaped up and trimmed up. But wherever you went, you were making sure that you looked as well as you could look with your afro. Angela Davis showed us what a good afro looked like, so we began to imitate her. Well, what happened, it caused some of the beauticians to lose customers. And so they had to learn to make adjustments so that they could still be able to maintain their beauty shop and learn ways to do that afro to help make younger women who were going out, like Angela Davis, to get their afro right. All right, moving right along. We are at the point where we started getting our hair braided down in cornrows, making us look a different look. Quite different cornrows. I could never do that part. I could just straighten and curl. But we began to want to have our hair braided down. And we have moved on to another level where we are getting the extended braids, twist to our hair, and the like. Well, I think my daughter is learning how to do the twist, and I was surprised that she got hers done in twist. But it takes a lot of effort and time to do that. So the prices of this is real expensive. The other things are braids that people pay a lot of money and spend a lot of time getting them. And I don't know much about that as far as beautician-wise, except for the twist that women are getting. I forgot what else they call it. Now, it's about clock. Is there anyone on who would like to ask a question or make a comment about beauticians and how phenomenal they were and still are? Has the mic been opened up? Your own have some thoughts of it. I remember when you went to the beauty shop and how your beautician acted. It was a job that beauticians were proud of. I mean, they were proud of it. And they would compete in state competitions and regional competitions. And as we read in Essence years ago, how they would go to national competitions and be the hairdressers of famous people. And they knew famous people knew that they had to give respect to their hair people, because I would hear Oprah talk about the man who did her hair. But we would want our hair to be, as my grandmother used to say, your crown in glory. And you want it to always look nice. Any comments from anybody? I thought I heard somebody on, but I cannot determine whether someone is on. My mic was supposed to go on and open up at 8 o'clock. Anyone there? If so, just say hi or something. I would love to hear something. It was many a beautician that saved the day for us with our hair. They would make sure if you were going to the junior senior prom that your hair would be fixed properly. Now, sometimes the daughters would go to the beauty shop and tell them what they wanted for their hair. I experienced that with one of my daughters. I sent her to get her hair done from a well-known beautician for the prom. She came back with waves down to her scalp, looking like Blondie in the knew in the comments, her waves were back down to her head. And I said, "Where do you think you're going looking like that?" And she said, I think by the time she saw the look on my face, she knew what was coming. She had to turn around and go back and get that hair fixed in a regular style. She was not going out of there looking like she had a plastic. It looked sort of like those men who used to wear the, what they call them, process. It was way down to her scalp. When I talked to the beautician later, she said that my daughter had told her she wanted that look. She said, I didn't think you wanted it, but she came there saying that's what she wanted to get for her prom, and I went on and fixed it. She said, but I knew when she came back through that door that it didn't go well with you. So, you know, And then there were times when there was some kind of hairdo that, and I only had it in Atlanta or Charlotte, D.C. And I'll never forget, I took my youngest daughter who wanted some braids. That was back 30 years ago. Yeah, maybe a little longer than 30 years ago. And her cousin had told us the lady who did her braids could do her some. They called them crochet braids. Yeah. They would plait your hair down. And we went to Atlanta to get that happen. I tell you what, it was rough because it was not at a beauty shop. It was at a house in the closet because her cousin would do that kind of thing. She didn't care where she went. She had to go get something pretty and new done to her hair. So we ended up in that pit. I sat there wondering, what might happen? Us sitting right in the middle of the ghetto getting those braids. But when the lady finished, I thanked her, and she was proud of what she did. Like I said, they're phenomenal, those beauticians. They're phenomenal people. And still are. And, excuse me, she got those braids, and we paid the woman, and we came on home. And I told her, I said, well, if you need them again, I'm not going to be the one to take you. You better take care of them. Enjoy them while you have them. But hair has been a big deal for African American women. And I think that we have through a lot of different cycles with them. But the beauticians who took us along, they were phenomenal. Sorry, I'm back. I had an interruption. Anybody on the line? Nobody's on the line? Well, what time is it now? I was thinking about how less we are that we have been able to have our needs met by different people in our society. And the beautician, and for the guys, I'm sure the barbershop was a blessing. But with beauticians, they had to learn techniques. And they were proud of the results they could give to a person. They made sure that you were pleased when they did it, and they made sure that they didn't charge you an arm and a leg. Now, today I hear that it's up from 65 on up to 125 or more just to get your hair washed, blown out, and curl, and they do what they call, got the name of it, tip of my tongue. But it is amazing what they are doing to hair today and the people that are doing it. And I hear that the young people are getting their cousins or friends to do their hair, to put the braids that they wear now. But I do hope that one day that, especially African Americans, that we will come back to taking care of our own hair. Because I think sometimes we think it's an easy way, the way to take care of anything. you have to, you know, you have to put something into it. And you just allowing yourself to go from week to week without getting any care for your hair, it makes for problems later on. Now, problems that we can have, and there's cures, not cures, but there's care for the scalp, even if you have what they call alopecia, you still need to take care of the hair that you have and the skin, the scalp, so that and protect your head and all of that. Some people think it came from the perms. I don't know. Some people think it's a hereditary thing. I don't know. But I do know this, that we have to be considerate of everybody, whether no matter what is going on with their hair. Be respectful of each other. Because we can't help what happens to us physically, even mentally in the life. So, beauticians are phenomenal. And like I've said all along, that in each of us, there is that place. If you believe and have faith in God that you too are phenomenal. Just do whatever you do well as you can do it. Rely on half doing. Try to do your very best at whatever you do. And you too will be showing the phenomenal person that you are, the phenomenal woman that you are. And I look around, and sometimes I think, what's going on with our young people? Why are people acting the way they're acting? They don't do what they used to. I think I hear somebody. Is there someone on here? Is someone on here?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Hello. How are you?
I am well. I hope you are. Good evening.
Yes, I'm well. Would you like to share anything or ask a question or whatever? Or make a comment?
I'm just going to be on. I'm listening right now.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what, you don't have anything to share about beauticians who were phenomenal in your life?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. God blew my mind today. He's a phenomenal wonder, and the Lord is going to release me to tell exactly what he do, but hopefully by next Wednesday, prayerfully, I will be able to give my testimony as to what he's doing. But I'm grateful and I'm honored just to be in the land of the living with the activity of my limbs,
yes,
my life, health, and my strength. I am honored that God loved me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for that.
Yes, that's a blessing. And we all know he takes care of us. So whatever you're going to be doing next week, it's going to go great. You're going to be phenomenal in doing.
Ma'am, yes, ma'am. I trust and believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will do it. There are no other people on the line, no other comments. I'll close out. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share my thoughts on phenomenal women who are beauticians, who have done things
Amen.
To our hair, done things to our hair that make us look better, keep and have kept our hair healthy. And thank you, first of all, for our first beauticians, our mothers and our grandmothers and our aunts, who sat us down in between their legs and combed our hair and told us what the hair needed. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom. God bless you. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.